Good morning. Well, I think my talk is going to follow Dr. Miklas as well. He's introduced the inheritance of those markers very well. And what we're trying to show is the applicability of those markers in a breeding system for common bacterial blight resistance in comparison to the traditional phenotypic selection. So we have a simple goal of comparing the two selection methods of direct selection and marker-assisted selection. And the simple goal is to pyramid, using those two selection methods, pyramid and intergrass common bacterial blight resistance into common bean. So Dr. Miklas introduced common bacterial blight very well. You can see the devastation that it can cause in terms of seed yield and seed quality and the necessity of resistant varieties to common bacterial blight. The CBB pathogens, as Dr. Miklas said, Xanthomonas campestris, path of R. phasioli, and its brown pigmented variant Fuscans. You can see the differences in growth of the pathogens. You can also get intermediate phenotypes of the pathogen. So just to outline our two selection methods that we were using, these should be familiar to most people. Direct selection, a more traditional method of selection. We use a standardized inoculation, standardized rating scales, very similar to Dr. Miklas. However, this can be very time consuming, and essentially you have to wait for 21 days or 3 weeks until you can really select the plants. And on top of that, there's variation in visual rating and also environmental variation. In comparison to marker-assisted selection, which is an indirect method of selection, we're simply going to do a tissue sampling right when the plants emerge from the primary leaves, simple PCR, a multiplex PCR using three markers linked with CBB resistance, the two that Dr. Miklas mentioned, and the third coming from vulgaris, one of the land races that he showed. So for these reasons, they can be very rapid. You can basically sample your tissue, do a DNA extraction and run the PCR and have your results in essentially one day. So for that reason, they can be very economical, as time is money. However, in some cases, as Dr. Miklas said, there are numerous, it's a quantitative trait, and you're limited by the availability of the markers, as not all QTL may be marked at this time. So we're rating on our 1 to 9 disease scale, 1 to 3 being resistant, 4 to 6 intermediate, 7 to 9 susceptible. So that's basically our direct selection methodology. In comparison to our marker-assisted selection, we're using three SCAR markers. So we're just using the dominant markers. We weren't using the co-dominant type that they had in their real-time PCR. So we have SAP6, SU91, and BC420. Found on all different linkage groups, and these were the two that Dr. Miklas focused on, and this was the third that we incorporated into our breeding program that's commonly used and found from a vulgaris background. So with those two selection methods, we basically needed a population to assess. Our population was a four-way cross of VAX3, a resistant parent, Wilkinson 2, also resistant, similar background to ZAN159 that was in Dr. Miklas's talk, same marker composition, and two dark red kidneys that were susceptible. Our ultimate goal to produce a dark red kidney with common bacterial blight resistance. And because of this, and the two gene pools in common bean, was the reason we went to a four-way cross. There are incompatibility issues between large-seeded and small-seeded beans. So we made two single crosses, one between Wilkinson 2 and one dark red kidney 1, a second single cross of dark red kidney 2 by VAX3, produced two F1s. Those F1s were crossed. We produced over 1,100 F1 seed, many of which were lethal or had some incompatibility issues because of the gene pools in common bean. So we had 707 viable F1 plants from our four-way cross. Those 707 plants in our F1 were simultaneously selected using direct selection and marker-assisted selection. So we knew the CBB score and the marker composition for those three markers on all 707 plants. And with that in the F1, we could then select F1 plants to select and self with each method individually to actually compare direct versus marker-assisted selection. So we wanted to select and self with the respective selection technique until the F6 generation. And I'd like to make note, there was no selection for seed color or size. This was simply for common bacterial blight resistance, even though our ultimate goal was for a dark red kidney. In this particular project, it was simply for CBB resistance. So just to give you an idea of the F1 results, out of the 707 plants, we had 73 that were highly resistant to common bacterial blight resistance. They had a mean score of 2.9. In comparison, we had 192 plants that had all three markers from our population, having a mean DSI of 5.4. So you can see significantly higher in the F1. So what that shows is that plants could have all three markers in the F1 stage and still have an intermediate or susceptible score. Those populations were too large because our ultimate goal was a replicated comparison. So we selected the best 15 families from direct selection, and we randomly selected 15 plants having all three markers. And using those respective selection techniques, select and self those two populations separately to the F6 generation. At each generation, we were selecting with the respective selection technique. So moving right into the RF6 replicated comparison, what you're looking at here is mean scores of 15 different families. So you can see our susceptible controls, or our susceptible parents, the dark red kidneys, highly susceptible. VAX3 and Wilkinson 2 are two resistant parents performing very well. And then looking at the mean of the 15 families from direct disease selection was significantly better than the mean of the 15 families from marker-assisted selection. However, what this value is down here is the mean of the best family from each selection technique. So you can see that each selection technique is working very well for several families. However, if you take the mean of all 15 families together, direct disease selection seems to be outperforming marker-assisted selection. This value here would be the mean of all four parents together. So you can see the improvement that we've made through selecting and selfing with the two selection techniques to the F6 generation. Now on top of that, we have the F6 family composition. So I showed you the mean scores, but I want to show you out of the 15 families, using direct selection, 10 out of the 15 were highly resistant, 5 out of the 15 still had an intermediate mean. So within those families, there were highly resistant plants, but the overall mean was still an intermediate mean. In comparison to marker-assisted selection, which only had 4 families with a mean that was highly resistant, 10 being intermediate and 1 susceptible. And in the F7 replicated comparison, what we did from our F6 replicated comparison, we harvested each plant individually, produced a balanced bulk, and then wanted to repeat this experiment one generation later. So basically, we repeated the experiment one generation advanced. Again, your dark red kidney lines highly susceptible in comparison to your resistant parents of VAX3 and Wilkinson 2. You can see that, again, the mean of the 15 families from direct disease selection was significantly better than marker-assisted selection. However, both were performing very well. The mean of both of these was a resistant score for the 15 families, but direct disease selection doing better than marker-assisted selection. This is the mean of the best family from each selection technique, so you can see both highly resistant. So both selection techniques working very well, but there is an increase in resistance using direct disease selection, again, in comparison to the mean of the 4 parents together. Again, looking at our F7 family composition, and this is basically out of the 15 families, 14 were resistant for direct disease selection, 13 for marker-assisted selection, so both performing very well. In this case, this replication was done at another time of the year, and our first one was done in the summer. So you can see the variation that you get in results between different growing seasons. In California, it's very hot, and you get a lot of insect pressure in the summer. So that caused some of our increase in symptoms or symptoms like CBB in the summer in the F6 replicated comparison. So really here, direct disease selection and marker-assisted selection doing both very well. Now, this was an interesting comparison because in our replicated comparisons, we were assessing each plant with markers and direct disease selection. So plants that were selected by direct disease selection, we also knew the marker score for those. So out of those 15 families with direct selection, we only had three marker classes. They either had all three markers, had SU91 or LG5, or SU91 and SAP6. So similar comparison to what Dr. Miklas showed, that when you have SU91, which all three of these classes would have, you are getting a high level of resistance. And with marker-assisted selection, we also had the same three marker classes. But what you can see that even in the same marker market class, between direct selection and marker-assisted selection, direct selection still did better, even when the marker composition was the same. So what's that showing us here is that even though they have the same composition of markers, direct selection, we're able to select for something else. The marker-assisted selection for those three QTL isn't picking up. So there's some unmarked level of resistance that we're able to select for using direct selection. So of course it all comes down to money and which method is going to work the best for us. Now this is in our system, and granted we are definitely not optimized for a high throughput system of marker-assisted selection, and that's evident in our comparisons. But I just wanted to show you what it does cost in our hands. So our greenhouses are quite expensive in Davis. It works out to about $1.35 a plant to do phenotypic selection. Then our labor of pot filling and staking and tying the plants and inoculating and rating. So it comes to $1.51 per plant for phenotypic selection. So quite expensive. However, it is more expensive in our hands with marker-assisted selection. The only reasons being that we have a very laborious way of doing DNA extractions. We aren't set up for a high-throughput DNA extraction method. So basically, we're just doing a simple De La Porta method. So in labor, it's quite time-consuming. So that's a lot higher than it really needs to be if you had the equipment, proper equipment. And on top of that, with the multiplex PCR, we're using a QIAGEN multiplex PCR kit. Works very well for multiple markers, more than just three. However, it is very expensive, so you could avoid using that QIAGEN kit. But you can see the decrease in greenhouse costs by marker-assisted selection if we're only going to plant the plants that we can select early on with marker-assisted selection. But in conclusion, marker-assisted selection was very effective in selecting for common bacterial blight resistance in our program. However, direct selection was significantly more effective. It had a lower mean of the 15 families, a greater number of resistant families, also on a single family basis, direct disease selection outperformed marker-assisted selection. Furthermore, the direct disease selection families that contained the same marker compositions of SU91 and LG5, all three markers, and SU91 and SAP6. Even though they had the same market class in direct disease selection, they were still more effective, showing you that there are other unmarked sources of resistance out there. And finally, in our system, direct disease selection is also less expensive. So with that, I'd like to acknowledge all the assistants on this project, Pioneer for the Pioneer Fellowship in Plant Pathology, and UC Davis for the Jastrow Shields Fellowship. With that, I'll open it up to any questions.
One or two questions?
Dr. Miklas?
So at the end of the day, did you end up with a dark red pity with common blight resistance?
No, definitely not out of this population. You definitely need a greater contribution than just the 50% that we have in this. So you would either have to move to a modified back cross or straight back cross to achieve a dark red kidney.
And do you see the linkage drag effect from BC 420 linkage with the flower color
locus? Definitely. There's the BC 420 marker is linked to undesirable traits in flower color and also for seed color, especially in a dark red kidney. You basically get more of a purple bean rather than a lighter dark red kidney. Yeah, Juan?
Any reason why 15 was the magic number? And the second question is, if you have any family that was common to both groups, let's say?
Okay. No real reason for 15 being the magic number. We wanted a decent number of families to compare that was manageable. Within each family, in the randomized complete block design, we had four replications and four plants within each rep. So it was already fairly large. It was about 800 plants per replication. So we thought that was a good number of families. And yes, there you could have both families in combination between marker-assisted selection and direct selection. They're out of the overall population of 73 resistant and 192 with all three markers. There were several that were in combination, or many were in combination. In these 15 that we randomly selected with all three markers, we actually only had one. So that's just the way that it worked out. Yep, Mark? Not really, not at this stage. We definitely needed to increase the percentage of dark red kidney if we wanted to recover a good. We had some decent seed size, but it was really seed color that was one of our main difficulties, and 50% dark red kidney was just not enough.
Okay. One last.
Thank you.